Please rise.
When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the text of our sermon this morning are the first five verses of our gospel reading. And in this, Jesus is talking about glory. Now, you should know that Jesus is still in the upper room. A lot of times people assume that Jesus is giving this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that would be incorrect. He is still in the upper room. He has just completed his good sermon. Now, there is an old saying that a good sermon should always be followed by a good prayer. And in this case, it's absolutely true. Jesus has just given the upper room discourse, the greatest of all sermons. And it is followed by a good prayer. Matter of fact, this prayer is so good, it's called the high sacerdotal prayer or the high priestly prayer. And Jesus begins his prayer by saying, Father, the hour has come. His hour, his time of glory, was the hour of the cross, the time of his death and his burial and his resurrection and his ascension. In the 7th chapter of John, not a person would lay a hand on Jesus. As a matter of fact, from John chapter 2 all the way to this chapter, Jesus has said over 5 times that his hour had not yet come. And each time, people were prevented from laying their hands on him. But now his time has come. Before, no one could kill Jesus. And actually, no one did kill Jesus. Jesus clearly tells us in the 10th chapter of St. John, no one takes it, my life, from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father. This is his great glory, that Jesus willingly laid down his life upon his cross for you, for me, for the entire world. And this is God's glory. The glory of God is found in the cross. We as Christians, we believe the words of Paul. When Paul wrote, we preach Christ crucified. The cross is the center and purpose of Jesus' life. Christians identify with Jesus, no doubt by crossing themselves. You see pastors do it, and there's no reason why you can't do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The crossing of yourself reminds you what Jesus has done for you in his hour of glory, that he has died for you. I know some say that it's not right to do, but actually, dear friend, it is a Christian thing to do. For in crossing ourselves, we're also remembering the first time that the cross was laid on us at our baptism. So Jesus prays this morning, glorify your Son, so that the Son glorifies you. The incarnate glorified Son, he is glorified by the Father. In John 1, we hear these words, the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Father glorified his Son, Jesus, by giving him as a gift a free gift to each and every one of you and to the entire world. As true God, Jesus has the same splendor and same glory from eternity, for He is God. Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Now this glory that He has always had was also given to His human nature. And this glory was given to Him so that He might save sinners, to save you and to save me. We know that people seek glory. Actually, there's three things in life that most people run after. Now, I say most people, I'm not talking about any of you, but if you are, listen closely. People seek their own glory. They seek their glory in their wealth, in their power, and in their fame. Don't we see this in our world today? We see it over and over and over again. And you all must know this wealth and this power and this fame is fleeting. For one day you will die, and it's gone. Job is so right that we come into this world with nothing, and we leave this world with nothing. So that means that we leave our wealth behind, we leave our power behind, and we leave our fame behind. And this isn't the glory that God is talking about, by the way. God is glorified by giving His only Son. When Jesus was born, the angels sang to the shepherds in the field, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." Peace. This is God's great glory, that He has sent His Son to bring peace unto the world. Yes, I know what you're thinking. Pastor, wait a minute. There are so many problems in the world. Where's the peace? The peace is in here. The peace is in our soul. God has announced that the war is over, and He has sent His Son, and in Jesus going to the cross and dying for you, the peace has been declared. Because of what Jesus has done, you are no longer at war with God, and God is no longer angry with you. His wrath has been poured onto His Son, and to you has been given His righteousness, His peace. The work of Jesus glorified both the Father, and it also glorified Himself. Jesus asked the Father to glorify Him so that the Son could glorify the Father. How did the Father do that? Jesus is given all authority over all of creation, so that Jesus could give to all of creation eternal life. In verse 4, Jesus says, "I glorified you on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." Dear one, you must understand, this work that Jesus has completed has been completed fully, 100%. Everything was done and has been done. There's nothing left undone except for Him to come back to bring you into His kingdom, which actually He has already done, but not yet. What was this work? Jesus revealed the one true God. And He did this by dying upon a cross to show you the great love and mercy that God has for each and every one of you. Jesus became poor so that you could become rich. The God-man was conceived in a virgin, then suffered, becoming a curse. And to remove the curse, He had to hang on a tree. Jesus willingly died for you so that you may live forever. And not only will you live forever, you will live in His presence forever. Then Jesus rose on the third day as a guarantee from the Father that Jesus' work has been fulfilled. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And because He is risen, you too will rise at the sound of His voice. Jesus then ascended into heaven, which again, as you heard with our children, we celebrated last Thursday. Where there in heaven, Jesus is now preparing a place for you. And if he is preparing a place for you, what's his promise? He's going to come back to take you to where he is, into his kingdom. Jesus will keep his promise because he has been glorified. And in his work, he glorifies his Father. So, God's glory is in the tree, the cross of our Lord. What about our glory? Now, Pastor, you just said it's wealth, power, and fame, but we as his children, we are also glorified. And our glory is also in the cross of our Lord. Paul wrote to the Galatians these words, "God forbid that I should boast of anything except the cross of Christ, through which the world is crucified to me, and I am crucified to the world." Our Lord's cross, my dear brother and sister, separates you. It separates you from a dark, sinful world. You are no longer bound by the sin, by the chains of sin, by the darkness of this world. The shackles have been removed from you. You no longer live in darkness, but you live in the glorious light of your Lord. The cross gives you this knowledge of the only true God, the work of nature, of course. We see the natural work of God. This is also known as the natural knowledge of man, that by creation itself, people can see that there's a God, but they refuse to confess it. But there's a problem in this. Natural knowledge of God is not salvation. There is no salvation in saying, "Yeah, I know who Jesus is." There's no salvation in that. Natural knowledge of God is not saving faith. Today, many have this natural knowledge of God, no doubt. Yet they do not have saving knowledge of God. They cannot answer this question, why did Jesus come? They can't answer this question, why did the Father glorify his Son? You and I know the answer to these questions because we have this saving knowledge of God. We have been enlightened by the power of the Holy Spirit. The answer, so that you and I could know the only true God through Jesus Christ and know that he is my Savior. Jesus tells us again in the 10th chapter of John, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish." Upon the cross, Jesus has won for each and every one of you eternal life. The Father gave his Son, then glorified his Son, so that everyone who believes in his Son would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why we in the church, that's why we rejoice in the cross of our Lord. It's because you now have everlasting life. You know God, and Jesus is that knowledge of your salvation. It's like this. You have a checkbook, and when you want to write a check, you have to sign your name there on the signature line. God has done the same. It's like a check that God has given to us, and he's addressed that check to you personally. And there on the signature line, he signs a name, but he doesn't sign it in black or blue ink. He signs it in the blood of Jesus. You have a guarantee that Jesus is coming for you. The check has been written, and on the last day it will be cashed. We see the same in the repentant thief. There, hanging next to Jesus, he is a picture of every believer. He is a picture of you and me. This is the importance of Golgotha for us. The gift of everlasting life was purchased for all people. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus looked at the man as he looks at us and he says, truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. He's saying the very same today to all of you. Today you will be with me in paradise. It's true because of what Jesus has done in his hour of glory upon his cross. So therefore, dear ones, we close with this. How are the Father and the Son and all mankind glorified? By the coming of the God-man, Jesus Christ, who met death and conquered it, and he conquered it for you. It is he who took away the sins of the world, for he is the very Lamb of God who has taken away all your sins. Therefore, you and I together can say, come unto me, all who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We come to Jesus, and in coming to Jesus, we lay our burdens upon him. Even our fears this day, we lay upon him, and he gives you rest. That's the glory. That's the glory that you have in your Savior. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.